You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Morning to you, Mike McNamara in for a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Yeah. Welcome to my house. The house of All Marine Radio, that coincidentally happens to be the house of post-traumatic winning. Kaboom! Okay, I have to tell you about my day yesterday. Like, everything that happened to me yesterday was good. Was not only good, but was great. So, yeah. So anyway, I do the show. And the show's normal. Now, I've been gone, you know, and I had somebody invade my bank account before I left. Had to deal with that. Payments start getting made and rejected, right? Oh my God, because it's based on old numbers, yada, yada, yada. So I'm going through my bank stuff, and I see that the company that hosts my internet site, right? I got charged $530 for usage beyond what I bought, right? So every month you have a plan, right? You have a monthly plan, and if you violate the plan, then they clip you. So I'm going through my bank account, and as I attempt to like get everything squared away, right? You know, all the things. So, you know, when they change, you know, your debit cards and stuff like that, right? All the things you have attached to it, your cell phone bill, your heating bill, your this bill, your that bill, like all those things go prang. So, and you know, everybody want their money. So I hate doing this stuff. So anyway, I turned two on that stuff, and I start going through the drudgery of whatever that was. I start going through the drudgery of, like, you know, calling Sprint, calling, you know, Southern California Edison, right, and all the rest of that stuff. And everybody's very nice, right? So I call Sprint and to do that. And then I said, hey, do you mind if we review my bill? And she says, yeah. I say, because, you know, my oldest daughter spun her phone out, you know, a few months ago, but my bill hasn't gone down too much. And so at the end of the day, like, we knocked $50 a month off my cell bill. So that was like the first thing. I was like, well, that wasn't bad. So then I see the $529 charge, and the company is called Pair, P-A-I-R, and they host my website, right? And so all the way this works is when I'm done with the show, I upload it to my account that's hosted on one of their servers. And so, yeah, it's called Pair Networks, and they're awesome. They're awesome, and they're even more awesome today. And wait till you hear this story. So anyway, I call them up, and I get to their, if you have a billing question, so I go to billing. And even though I know I really probably want sales, but, you know, I go to billing. All right, so... and I talked to a woman there, and she says, well, let me transfer you to one of our sales guys, and he can help you out. Because what you really need to do is up your bandwidth so you don't break it and then get charged these things. I said, that's what I need. And I said, thank you. So on hops John, and John and I are talking. And so he's explaining to me, you can have this. With this, and he said, but let me sit down and let me work some math, and then let me shoot you an email. So I said, all right. So John says, so I get an email from John a little bit later, and he says, hey, here's what you should do, and essentially move my stuff to its own server instead of sharing a server with somebody else. And he explains to me the ins and outs of that. You know, you might lose service, you know, to, you know, you might lose access to your files given the size of your library. And because, know this, I've never weeded that thing out, which I probably should. So every file since we started in 2016 is on there, right? Every friggin' file. So anyway... So, you know, he goes with me through the specifics and yada, 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 yada. And, so then he says, hey, I was looking at your website just to get an idea of, you know, what you do. And he says, I just want to thank you for what you do. I said, you don't have to, it's something that's, you know, really important to me. You know, blah, 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 blah. And so we exchange a few emails. I say, yeah, let's do that. So you know, they're going to migrate my stuff over to its own server. And, you know, this problem solved, right? So then I just go about solving the next problem of my day. And I get an email from John and said, hey, Mac, talk to our credit people, and we're going to credit your account for last month's overages, right? And December as well. I didn't even know about December's. December, I got clipped for $500 and some odd too. And which is a good sign for All Marine Radio. And so anyway, I was like, what's going on here? And so, I mean, not that I was stunned or anything like that, but and what an awesome surprise. And he said, you know, in the note, it just said, hey, you know, something like respect what you do and thank you for, you know, being a great customer and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, they refunded me over $1,000. Exactly. Kaboom. Yeah, that's not even boom. That's like kaboom. So that's going on. And I'm like, whoa. Well, Mac's having a decent day. So, yeah. So then I did a really cool interview that you're going to hear in a little bit. And it was a really good part of my day, especially the end. So I would tell you stick around for the end of that interview. And then I'm perusing the news and I see that the president of the United States has nominated to be the Secretary of the Air Force the guy who's hosting me in Hawaii. Right? Now, let me tell you that story a little bit. I meet his wife at, I meet her in October when I went to do post-traumatic winning at the Air Force General Officer Symposium. It's an event they call Corona in Colorado Springs. So I go and I do it at the invitation of the wife of the current Chief of Staff of the Air Force, right, General Goldfein. His wife's name is Dawn. And Dawn has been an incredible advocate of post-traumatic winning. And so anyway, so I stand up at the start. And, you know, they got a brief before about, I think, Air Force resiliency. And then I stand up and I said, okay, look, this is a 3-hour class that's jammed into about, right, 2 hours and 2 minutes now. So don't even think about asking a question. Right. So like I'm like my normal like self and I see this woman, she starts laughing, right? And I say, oh, I'm not even joking either, so don't even go there with me, girlfriend. And she looks at me, and she starts laughing. And she's like, who are you, all right? And what are you doing here? So I've had a chance, so anyway, that starts, that's my introduction, all right, to a woman by the name of Shireen Brown, all right, who happens to be the spouse of General Brown, who's Air Force, like Air Force Pacific Command, right, out and headquartered in Hawaii. So anyway, I do that thing, and she comes up to me, and she's like, oh, my God, this is unbelievable. You've got to come to Hawaii. She said, you know, are you willing to go around the Pacific? And I said, I'll go anywhere to do this. And she says, okay. You just ran your mouth. you better be prepared. So anyway, that's how the thing in Hawaii did. And I'll go to Hawaii 3 times over the course of the next 3 months. Yeah. Post-traumatic winning. Winning. Winning with post-traumatic winning. So anyway, when I went last week to Orlando, I walk in the room and one of the first people who I see... And I had I had a pair of slacks and a shirt and a sport coat on, which is not the way I normally do post-traumatic winning. Normally, I just do it, you know, in jeans and a shirt. And I do that because, you know, I don't want to be the guy in a sport coat, right? I want to be, you know, I'm like you. But anyway, it was a little bit more of an occasion, so I thought I would dress up a little bit. So anyway, she starts giving me grief, like, oh, look at you. Right. And so she sent me an email. So I saw her, but I went at the end of the thing. I looked for her, but I couldn't get, I was overwhelmed by people. and I couldn't see her. So she sent me a note. give me grief. She said, oh, I couldn't say goodbye to you because you were obviously overwhelmed, but can't tell you how excited I am. Seeing your presentation again only reinforced. You know, it's a very nice thing. So I tell you that because, you know, hopefully he'll be confirmed, and it's a good thing for post-traumatic winning. And so, yeah, so the day just it got better and better and better and better. So awesome day yesterday for post-traumatic winning. Now, I would tell you, though, that the more I read and hear about the deal in Afghanistan, the weaker of a deal I think it is. Now, who makes a weak deal? Why would you make a weak deal? Well, I'm going to bring Tim Lynch on, and he and I are going to talk about that in about 14 minutes. Okay, so that's a good question. Why would the United States make a weak deal? Because the deal calls for the United States to go down to like 83, 85, 8800. I can't remember the exact digit after the 8. So 8,000 plus American troops, you know, and then NATO troops in the area, right? And Secretary of Defense Mark Esper said he's confident that they can conduct every mission they need to conduct with the 8,000. All right, so I guess time will tell. So, but that 8,000, that move from like 14,000 to 8,000 begins immediately, right? There are no other triggers. So we're going to pull out people, and we're supposed to give the Taliban back, right? We're supposed to give the Taliban back their 5,000 prisoners in exchange for 1,000. Okay, of prisoners being held by the Taliban of the federal government. That's a pretty weak deal. Who does that? So why would the United States make that deal? That's a weak ass deal, man. Did somebody? What did they have on you? So, I would tell you the first reason. I won't tell you the second reason. I'll spring that on you when Tim Lynch shows up. But I would tell you the first reason is that Donald Trump's a politician. He made a promise that he was going to get us out of there, and he's going to do that, which is what Barack Obama did, which is what led to us leaving Iraq without a residual force there, which led to the vacuum that ISIS filled and us going back there a second time. Okay. That's the history behind the history. And that's the nature of John Bolton's tweet. Right. So anyway, calling it an Obama-esque, peace agreement. So why would we do that? So we're going to talk about that today. Super Tuesday today and betting odds. Are that Joe Biden is going to win today. And Bernie Sanders, his juggernaut, will have been derailed by the Democratic establishment. Yeah. Pete, out. Amy Klobuchar, out. Why Elizabeth Warren, right, if she's just being allowed, some dignity and like, okay, Pete and Amy, you're way out. You got to leave, okay? Right, Elizabeth Warren, after Super Tuesday, you're dropping your papers and you're out. Okay, so that's, we'll just play to your vanity right there. But why she's still around, no, I don't rightly know. There's no path to her to be elect, to be the nominee. So anyhow, that's going on today. And then you're going to meet, in hour two, you're going to meet Patricia Conger. Her brother, Jesse, her twin brother, Jesse, went missing last August in Arizona. And so you're going to hear about their life. You're going to hear what she's had to go through to be able to search for him. And he went missing on an Indian reservation in Arizona. And they have said that they will search for him. They have not allowed, you know, groups of veterans or whoever to come onto the reservation and search for him. Now, she said very gracious things about him and that they've looked for him and whatnot. So, anyhow, you're going to hear her story. They found his vehicle in January. So they had no trace of him. Hide nor hair of him. And he vanished. And then in January, they found his vehicle on the reservation. They had no idea he was there. You know, he went there. And all the stuff still in the vehicle, blah, 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 blah. And so so we'll talk to Patricia about that story and update that. So you'll meet her in about 40 minutes, 38 minutes to be exact. All right. So the United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning, the third day of March in the year 2020, official. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to some people I've never met. Had an exchange with them yesterday on the phone, and who were beyond gracious to me. And I told them, I said, "Hey, look, I'm not a wealthy man. I struggle like everybody else does, trying to do something good, and I certainly appreciate it." So this is to a salesperson, the credit department, and people at Pear Networks. Thank you very much for your support and encouragement.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
In a little economic news, the Fed just cut interest rates today. Yeah, president been all over them. Yeah. The German central bank injecting money, right, lowering interest rates, injecting money into the economy, make it easier for people to borrow when things get tough. The American Fed not doing anything. President not real happy about it. All right, we'll check the weather here. Currently, in Quantico, the crossroads of the Marine Corps, partly sunny and 50. Camp Lejeune, cloudy and 63. So going to be warm in North Carolina today. 29 Palms, it is sunny and 52. Pendleton, sunny and 50. Hawaii, dark, cloudy and 69 degrees. Yeah, they're about to hit 70 without the sun. Go figure. In Okinawa, dark, cloudy, 67. Late in the day, in Lashkar Gah, it is cloudy and 63. And in Ramadi, it is sunny and 63. At the home of All Marine Radio, sunny and 53. Looking for a high of 77 today. Push. Whoa. Breaking news. The Fed cuts rates by half a point to combat the virus slowdown. Stock surging. Greatest single one-day movement on Wall Street yesterday. Let me tell you, all the coronavirus and economic news, it lays over the top of a really strong American economy. And when you have strong fundamentals like that, that are based on strong demand, driven by strong employment, which is an indicator of an expanding economy. Yeah. Yeah. Mac, going economics on your, I was going to say your dumb asses, but I stopped myself. On y'all. Exactly. Yeah. Break that down like my guy Charles Payne does. He's my favorite economics guy. Anyway, that is a look at your weather. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to get Tim Lynch on, and I'm going to pose for Timmy, right, why I believe this cosmetically looks like a weak deal for the United States. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hundreds of thousands of veterans have taken off their uniforms and put them away, carefully packed and safely stowed. But for some veterans, the uniform isn't so easily removed. The emotions experienced while serving continue to weigh on them. Life after service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, and daily life is no longer as enjoyable as it once was. Some feel overwhelmed and lost. But that uncertainty doesn't take away from their strength and courage, nor does it take away from the sense of duty veterans carry with them. The transition from service is different for everyone. If you are a veteran going through a difficult time, or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1, or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right. As I said, as you hear more about the deal that's been cut, it's a weak deal from the American perspective, right? You're going to commence your withdrawal today, and the only thing they do is stop shooting at you, and then you're going to give them 5,000 prisoners, and they're going to release 1,000, and that's what you want the federal government to do. And the Afghan federal government says, we're not doing that. Which, if I was them, I wouldn't do either. So you look at the deal on face and you say, why such a weak deal on the American side? So to talk about that with me, Tim Lynch joins me. Timmy, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Mac. How about yourself?
I'm good. Good. So I don't know what your thoughts as you've seen a few more details of this deal. It looks to be a weak deal from the American side. This is the best. We negotiated all that time, and this is what the fuck we got? So that's what I wanted to talk to you about. And I have a theory about it. So, but I want to get your thoughts on, do you think it's a weak deal from the American perspective, from the Afghan federal government perspective, or not?
Oh, it is, it's unquestionably a weak deal. You can't put any lipstick on this pig. And I say that despite my enthusiasm for it being signed. But It's a horrible deal. I mean, the entire time the Taliban have refused to recognize the government of Kabul, calling them puppets.
Right.
And they got their way. And the only people that made any concessions that I can determine are us. And I don't like it, but I still feel strongly it's time for us to get the hell out.
Okay, so that's what I want to talk about. So in my opinion, I want your thoughts about this, as I thought about this last night. What I believe the United States is message sending here, right?
Right.
To the Afghan federal government. And that is, look, we propped your weak ass up. You've taken our money, right? And your army, you know, doesn't fight so much. We want you to know that we're getting the fuck out of here and that you better get your shit together, because we are not going to stay here forever to bail your ass out and make you rich. So to me, what the United States did was, look, anybody who's got a little bit of education on what's going on over there looks at this and says, this is a weak deal. Why would the United States, right, negotiate a weak deal? And I believe it is, as you said, look, we've been there for almost two decades. We have not, you know, all in all, you've not been a great partner. And maybe that's for a variety of reasons, you know, a lot of them, which was, you know, our doing and even taking this task on. But I believe that the United States is message sending to the federal government of Afghanistan and saying, like, look, man, first of all, you and your little quarrel, you know, about the elections, that needs to get put aside. All right. You and your military, you need to get your shit together. You need to stiffen your spine. Now, I don't know if that's even possible. All right. But it's serving notice that, hey, we're not staying here forever. We're on the way out. So so to me, that's what, in my opinion, that's why that got negotiated. Right. And that Donald Trump, as a politician, told the American people, right, I'm going to get us, you know, I'm going to wind that thing down. And I'm going to do that. And he's going to do that. And I've tried to do this. I've stayed on the advice of my, on the counsel of my generals, right? I understand what we're trying to do strategically in the region, right? But I want you to know that the blank check that you've been given in the past, that thing's running out. So I'm curious about your thoughts relative to that, Timmy.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. And for once, we seem to be a little bit upfront about this. We're not declaring victory and going home. We've negotiated a deal that's very difficult to put a good spin on. It's just, you can't. But the thing is there's some stuff going on behind the scenes that we're not privy to. Obviously, the government is being funded. The next round of funding was this year. Clearly, commitments have been made to continue the funding. I imagine, if Trump being Trump, as he released our allies out of there, Germany and Italy and those other folks that have been supplying minor numbers of people, maybe he got some concessions from them as far as funding, because we're not the only funders. The UN throws in, Germany throws in a lot of money, Japan throws in a king's ransom worth of money. So there's a lot of people that are funding. So that's been established. The second thing is we can reasonably anticipate that this lowland fighting will cease once we're out of there. And what happens then? You know, a few episodes back, Jeff was throwing out, putting the hammer to him in Quetta and Peshawar, which of course he was obviously, we seriously not talking as a serious measure. But what if we do smoke check a couple guys in Quetta or Mir and Shah when the fighting kicks back up and the president goes on and says, hey, man, I told you guys this. We're going to hit all three residences, Mullah Omar and Quetta, and we're going to get all four of Haqqanis. We're going to level them. I think that kind of message sending might make everybody play a little bit more fairly on the field of battle. But all this agreement does, supposedly, is get an inter-Afghan dialogue going, which I think would work, quite frankly, if it's done sincerely, and get us the hell out of there. And I'm very, very pleased to hear there's no residual counterterrorism force, because I think that would have been a nightmare. And I might add, Mac, the one thing I've been writing about and been saying for years that I was afraid was going to happen, which was the isolation and elimination of an American detachment, did not even come close to happening. And for that, we can thank God, because that's how the Afghans roll. That's what they've been trying to do for a long time.
Well, that's what they do with Afghan national forces, which
routinely. Yeah. And they put the hammer to them. Right. It's not a good thing.
And we've talked about that. I don't understand how that happens. I mean, normally, you know, you see people coming and nobody can get there as you are, you know, summarily, you know, annihilated.
I don't understand. They're spread out in checkpoints around these cities and suburbs and district centers and whatnot.
Yeah, but I don't mean the checkpoints. I mean, what I mean is we read about the firm bases that have been, you know, surrounded
and overrun.
And then you see the pictures of them, and these things are got the shit blown out of them. And you're like, how can that happen to not a detachment out on a vehicle checkpoint or a bridge checkpoint or something like that? But how can that happen to, you know, 40 guys in a platoon reinforced firm base with communications,
or 150 guys inside of one up in a Mazar Sharif,
right?
And I tell you how that happened.
I just want to make
an observation, and that is the Taliban are good at that shit. They're not as tactically inept as we like to think they are. Okay. They can plan an op. And when you don't have to take your assault force back out, there's no retrograde because they're all going to die in place. That was a good, solid operational planning by them and execution.
So if it is message sending, and if we are if we're going to be stuck at 8,000 plus there for a while because the federal government, if you were the federal government, would you give 5,000 prisoners back at the start?
No, I would at the end.
Right. I would exchange my 1,000 for your 1,000 as a good faith gesture, but the other 4,000 are not going anywhere until all the rest of this stuff. And as you said, Timmy, I mean, as you rightly pointed out, you haven't acknowledged our existence, right? And I played a series of interviews from Al Jazeera yesterday with Afghan people, right? And they all say the same thing. We know the Taliban. We know what's going to happen. Talk to business people. They don't allow music. Is that what's going to happen? Am I going to have to leave the country and shut my music store again? Right? And then the whole woman thing, right? We've made, you know, we're people too. We've made strides, right? And we don't want these things to go away, but we have no illusions about the Taliban, and you hear it over and over and over. And so to me, what the agreement's designed to do is get us to under 10,000, and then you're gonna have a stalemate, and then and then the fighting's gonna commence again.
But the fighting will commence. I mean, that's what they do. But what we were talking about several episodes ago, the amount of educated people and whatnot, they're not going to be able to bring back Mullah Cable, who was some guy up in Kabul, used to whip people on the streets. They can't pull that crap again. They say they're not going to. They say they understand all this. I don't think that when the Afghan people get a case of the red ass against somebody, it can be dramatic. The only reason the Taliban did so well in the 90s was they went around and disarmed everybody. And I don't think the Afghans will allow themselves to be unarmed again.
All right, so the wheat deal is designed to get us under 10,000 and get us to a different phase of this, where the United States is headed out the door, and we're going to get to this next point of fighting. Is that where this leads? If you were a betting man,
if I was a betting man, I would say that's where it leads. I don't know how to assess the potential of an inter-Afghan dialogue.
That's the term that you hear them use all the time. We're right. going to get to this inter-Afghan dialogue. Well, how the hell can you have a dialogue when one side said we don't even recognize the other side?
Yeah, and at the dialogue, President Ghani will just be Dr. Ghani, just a regular citizen. Same with But they've got serious people in the Afghan government, too. I mentioned the new senior vice president-elect, Saleh. That guy is nobody's fool. Well-trained, an impeccable English speaker, and a guy that was fighting with Massoud. So they've got to deal with each other. And the Afghans have a way of doing these shuras and working stuff out. Normally, it's got to be in some type of financial arrangement first. I believe it's possible that they could get to some type of agreement that will keep the violence down. But it's not going to go away because the Taliban doesn't control every armed group that's opposed to the government in Afghanistan. There's lots of them that don't like the government in Kabul that don't like the Taliban either. And they're going to have a say in this. So I don't know if the inter-Afghan dialogue will work, but it could. And if the Taliban do what they said they're going to do to ISIS up in the northern provinces and wipe them out, that's good. It's better than sending SF guys after them.
Okay, so and what it allows the president to do is it allows the president of the United States to say, hey, look, I've drawn that thing down as far as I reasonably can. There's a peace process in motion. Right. It's not pretty, but that's where we're headed. Right. And I've lived up to the promise because there's a path that leads us out of Afghanistan. Now, that path isn't going to be smooth. I acknowledge that. But we are on the path to get out of there. And as soon as we can. So it allows the president to say that. Yes.
It allows him to say that. He'll be criticized for giving a worse deal than Obama or something like that. And I don't care about the criticism because he's going to face it. The question is,
I don't know that that's factually true, though, because Obama just left.
Well, no, I know. I'm talking about Obama in Iraq.
Right. No, I know. But what I'm saying is we were not able to negotiate a treaty. And at the end of the day, they said, OK, fine, we're out. Which created the circumstances that we would go back in that void. And so I don't know that there's never been – so Bolton's criticism, I think, is there was never any dialogue between ISIS or al-Qaeda and the Iraqi government. There was never – and at the end of the day, we all know that the Afghans have to solve this, and we're being part of that. So – I think upon further review, Bolton's criticism is bullshit.
Yeah, but that's something you and I and a majority of our listeners know and understand. But the majority of the Americans, they're not following this at all. And they're going to and so Trump will be able to be criticized based on perceptions. And it doesn't matter at this point. What matters is what he does when. Because it's just a matter of when the Taliban violate their end of the deal. Because what he does not want to do is leave that 8,000 men in there. I can guarantee you that. So he seems to be the kind of guy that will pull the trigger, and all of a sudden you start seeing drone swarms over Mirin Shah and Quetta.
I think you and Jeff are smoking crack on that one. Okay, just for the record, you and Jeff's little Genghis Khan fantasies that he wheels out on us every once in a while, right? That rah, smoke him here. Yeah, I got it.
I was talking surgical pinpoints. I'm talking servicing specific.
Yeah,
he
just praised the Pakistanis for helping us, and now we're going to start whacking people inside their country.
Oh, absolutely. You're talking about Taliban guys. You could go to the president of Pakistan and say, yeah, you can thank me later for hooking you up like that. I think he – well, he's got to have
a plan. Has that ever happened anywhere near Quetta?
No. Well, I don't know. How about Iraq? How about with Soleimani?
Well, that's not the question. Anybody – so Soleimani, therefore this. That's a logical leap that I will not allow on the program, bro.
I'm having a fantasy moment because he's got to have
I just
a plan
want everybody to know that, okay? I just want everybody to know that in the appropriate context that you are having a Jeff Kenney moment.
Well, yeah, but when he does this, then we'll have to come back to this conversation.
Oh, certainly will.
But my only point is, Mac, he's got to have a plan for when the Taliban violate the deal because they're going to.
Right.
And he's got to have a plan or he's going to look even worse.
No, I think that he does. I mean, if you watch any part of the Secretary of Defense's, press conference, well, certain parts of it, he and the chairman yesterday had a press conference and he said, look, we're able to execute all of our missions at 8,800 troops. He said, I'm confident of that. So we've evidently got enough shooters and whatnot that we can do that. So I think that, you know, if it goes back to that, then according to the SecDef, we have the people to go to get that done. I just think, you know, the message sending is as much to the federal government, right? This is coming. This is coming.
It's message sending.
To the Ministry of Interior, who controls troops, and also the Ministry of Defense. You better stiffen your spine, boys, because this is coming, and they're going to come for you, and we're leaving, you know. And again, so the contrast is, okay, are we Vietnamizing this war, right? Are you going to hear peace with honor anytime soon? And all that is just cloud cover, smoke, if you will, for unassing Afghanistan because we're sick of it. Okay, because even the people that have advocated for it are sick of it and saying, yeah, you know, it was a bad thing. So,
I agree with your assessment there, but I must caution you that leaving, if you can do the mission with 800, the only mission you can do is secure Bagram and evacuate the embassy. Because and that's assuming that you've got contractors servicing the aircraft you're leaving behind. 800 ain't much, bro. That's not enough to do shit.
8,000.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said 800. I was like, whoa, dude.
No. 800. I'm not sure what you're doing with that other than securing an airfield.
That's exactly what I was saying. I thought that's what you said. My bad. Sorry.
No. With that quote unquote residual force. So anyway, I just, the more I looked at it, it's like, okay, the United States, you know, we hope we're not a stupid country. Why would we be a part of a stupid deal? And you say, okay, so where does the stupid deal take us? And so to me, the next sticking point is the inter-Afghan discussions and the first bone of contention after, I guess, another period of hostilities is going to be the prisoner swap. Okay, 1,000 for 1,000 and 4,000 will wait. To me, yeah, that's reasonable.
And that should be part of the inter-Afghan dialogue because Ghani's already said he's not releasing him, and nor should he. That'd be stupid.
Right. Mm. Okay. All right. I just had a few footnotes, and I wanted to yank you on and run it up the pole and see what you thought. So we expect that there will be more fighting here shortly. And that at some point that fighting will die down, and then the inter-Afghan discussions will commence, and agenda item one will be the prisoner swap. And if they can't come to some middle ground on that, then we'll have more fighting.
And if we have a gigantic violation of the truth, there's got to be some type of reaction from the United States, and we'll have to see what that is.
Got it.
But I sure as hell hope it doesn't involve sending boots on the ground anywhere.
No, I don't think it will. I don't think so either. I don't think it will. All right, Timmy, first of all, I appreciate you hopping on short notice. Have a nice day.
Thank you very much, Mac. Always a pleasure.
All right, there you have it. Tim Lynch here on a, what is it? What? It's Tuesday morning. That's right. Tuesday morning. Let me just check a few headlines here. And then you're going to hear Patricia Conger. So headline checking. Top five stories in early bird. Well, let me give you the top of the fold of Stars and Stripes. Top of the fold of Stars and Stripes is Pacific Commander picked as the next Air Force Chief of Staff would be the first black military service chief. So Colin Powell, who is chairman, was not the Secretary of the Army. That's what I take out of that. Next headline, two key Republicans push back on the U.S.-Taliban peace deal. Senator Lindsey Graham, one of the president's closest allies in Congress, on Monday warned against a quick military exit from Afghanistan and implored that a small contingent of U.S. forces must stay in the country to thwart attacks on the homeland from extremist groups. Quote, let's don't do in Afghanistan what Obama did in Iraq, pull the plug on the place and allow radical Islam to start roaring back. we're going to need a residual U.S. force for years to come because I don't trust the Taliban to police al-Qaeda and the Islamic State. We need some of our forces in place. That's what Obama failed to do. From Max Thornberry, the ranking Republican on the House Armed Service Committee, said this: it's not clear to me what the conditions that would lead to complete withdrawal in 14 months would be. Who decides whether those conditions have been met? If this peace deal is a withdrawal document, then Afghanistan will fall apart and civil war will emerge, Senator Graham said. Women will go back into the darkness and al-Qaeda and ISIS will come forward again to threaten us. This is from the Secretary of Defense. We are going to show good faith and begin withdrawing our troops, Esper said. And we can stop at any moment. We can pause it based on changing circumstances. We're going to 8,600 troops, and then we're going to stop. We're going to assess the situation, just not tactically on the ground, but are all the parties living up to their obligations and commitments? Are they acting in good faith? So there you have that. That in the news. So Senator Graham and Representative Thornberry, not real pleased with life. Awesome pictures in Stars and Stripes of Marine drinking the blood of cobra snakes. An annual ritual in Thailand for Operation Cobra Gold. Yep. It's all, those are awesome pictures. Just for the record. And then congratulations to General Charles Brown, who I'll meet at the end of the month. Yeah, at the end of the month. And then get to go to a reception at his house. Yeah, how about that? But he's got a, you know, I know his wife, and so congratulations to them. Top five stories in Early Bird are as follows. Give me one second to tee this thing up. That's known as filling right there. Number one, Esper gives go-ahead to begin the withdrawal or the drawdown. Hold on, some stupid banner hopped up. Esper gives go-ahead to begin drawdown of American forces in Afghanistan. So I would encourage you to check out his press conference yesterday. Number two, General Brown, head of Pacific Air Force, is tapped to become chief of staff. Chief of staff of the Air Force is their commandant of the Air Force, in case you don't know. The Navy calls theirs the CNO, Chief of Naval Operations. Marine Corps is the Commandant of the Marine Corps. The Army is the Chief of Staff of the Army. And the Air Force is the Chief of Staff of the Air Force. And he also owns the Space Force, kind of like the CNO owns the Navy and the Marine Corps. Yeah, the Department of the Navy. Anyway, no, the Secretary of the Navy owns the Navy and the... So the Secretary of the Air Force owns... Yeah, no, I think that's different in the Air Force. Well, no, I take that back. The Secretary of the Air Force owns the Air Force and the Space Force. I take that back. Number three, Afghanistan's ambassador to the U.S. says her nation is warily hopeful they will finally live in peace. Again, cautiously pessimistic. Yeah. The story for Military Times starts like this. Her Excellency Roya Rahmani, the first woman ambassador to the U.S. from Afghanistan, apologized in advance if she appeared sleepy. So that's how it starts. So the irony, right? The irony that, you know, here's a woman ambassador from Afghanistan to the nation, to the world's most powerful nation. Not China, by the way. Anyway, China. What a clown show, man. What a clown show. Number four, Pentagon says U.S. will not retaliate for Turkey in Syria. The U.S. administration has ruled out retaliatory airstrikes in Syria after at least 34 Turkish troops were killed in an attack last week, according to the Secretary of Defense Mark Esper. Yeah, I believe that came out of that press conference too. So Turkey tells us to fuck off, right? After we say, hey, look, you're a NATO member, man. Buying Russian air defense systems, you're not going to have our advanced technology and their advanced technology, right, complete with their trainers and shit that are going to then try to steal our technology and take it back so they can defeat it. Ain't going to happen. And Turkey says, okay, go to hell. All right, got it. And Turkey continues to attempt to exit the NATO sphere. And then they get punched in the face. And what's the first thing they do? They ran to NATO. Convened only for the second time in history, right? All NATO nations to appraise them of what happened and say, hey, you know, we're invoking the rule of whatever. Right. You don't even like us. And now you got punched in the face by the Russians and... do you want to come back home? Right. Number five, McCusker has Pentagon controller nomination killed. The nomination of Elaine McCusker to be comptroller of the Defense Department has been withdrawn by the White House. In early February, the New York Post reported that McCusker's nomination was doomed based on concerns she raised about suspending defense funding to the Ukraine in 2019. So part of the president's little purge. Anybody from his administration that made him look bad? Again, you know, that whole thing, speak truth to power. It does not come without risk. It does not come without risk. And so when you hop into that world, better be ready for it. Right? Better be ready for it. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to meet Patricia Conger. And you're going to hear her story. Her twin brother, went missing last August. He was a former Marine. He'd got out and struggled a bit. And he went missing in Arizona last August. His car was found in January. And Patricia, on a daily basis, goes and looks for her twin brother. She has two kids. And so you're going to hear her story. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.